Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We're going to talk a little more of the World Series. What grade would you give John Schneider last night? What grade are you giving Schneider last night? I think there'd be some Fs out there for John Schneider. Maybe a B, C? I'd be interested on what you overall thought of C-plus. The way he managed that game.
I think he yanked the couple of Vasity should have left in a little long. I think he was a little too quick to get rid of a few pitchers. Not all of them, a few.
Well, Barger.
The Barger pull, I had a problem with.
Not walking Ohtani in the seventh.
Yeah.
Are we starting to slide that grade lower?
Who was pitching?
For the seventh?
Dominguez.
It was Sir Anthony.
Oh, you got to walk him. You have to walk him.
Bold move, by the way, putting S-E-R at the start of that name as a parent. Sir Anthony Dominguez. But the thing is, in that meeting, John Schneider, I played the audio earlier. If you missed it, this was Schneider explaining himself last night on that pitch to Ohtani, that Sir Anthony decision.
We're trying to pitch around him. You know what I mean? And you trust Sir Anthony to make pitches to do that. And sometimes for pitchers, it's hard to do that, you know, when you're kind of trying to throw a ball and didn't put it where he wanted to put it. But, you know, he had a great game. He's a great player. But I think, you know, after that, you just kind of take the bat out of his hands.
And that's what they did.
Intentional walk, intentional walk, intentional walk, intentional walk. And then it is
final. I didn't mind the Kirk pull. I think that's going to pay off tonight.
Kirk, at that at bat, he swung, fouled it off, and he grimaced. Yeah. And there was a little like,
I think a lot of these guys are dealing
but
with.
But Kirk is in the lineup. He is catching tonight.
Yeah.
So it wasn't
see, and you need too Kirk. Serious. You need Kirk in. So that might have been a rest thing for him. What are some of the other questionable decisions that
Schneider
made? Well,
there's Schneider a lot of base running things, which aren't but so much
that's not Schneider.
John Schneider. Those are decisions made either A, by the player, or B, by first, third base coach. I thought the third base coach did a good job waving Guerrero home, got the run,
yeah.
Dodged the tag.
The Schneider wave, that was a mistake. The Ernie wave was an Ernie running mistake. He let up. Right, he took a look behind him and he slowed up. If he didn't do that, I think he makes that. There was so many. Was that odd last night for you, Jamie? So many close calls.
Oh, like, and reviews at the plate, at third base, second base.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, it's the World Series. That you're trying to stretch. A double into a triple. You're trying to stretch from first to third, or I think Vladdy's case was first to home, going all the way around. So you're trying to stretch to try to generate those runs. So there are going to be those close calls and those tough decisions as a base runner, as a base coach on when to wave, when not to wave. The management of the roster last night, I was starting to get worried because when
Little came out.
It was, well, not the pitcher so much, but it was, I forget who it was. Was it Kiner Falefa who looked like he might have hurt himself a bit at the plate? And then you're like, what do we do now as the Blue Jays?
Because
they're out of players.
Yeah.
Whereas the Dodgers, I think they still had three guys that were available that didn't even
Varsho got hit? He got hit. And then that was when we started having the conversations about positional players. Is there anybody left?
Yeah, there's like, nobody left.
Is anybody in the pitch? Hey, is anybody that's pitched? When's the last time you played second?
Hey,
can we put
Savage.
You in the field?
Can you play first and swing a bat? Like, that's what it would have gone down to.
Yeah.
They would have had to have one of their pitchers play a position.
The bigger issue, right, like with last night was... And you can have a problem with the Barger thing after the fact, right? Because then he doesn't have that bat in there towards the end of the game. But no one's predicting an 18-inning game, right?
You're not, but I.
But
it looked
it
like
did
Dave,
hurt him.
It looked like Dave Roberts was a lot more planned for what could happen than John Schneider was, because. Well, it was the L.A. Dodgers who went to 18 innings when Max Muncy hit it out of the park in 2018. Let's go to Peter in Moose Jaw. Peter, what grade are you giving the manager of the Jays for last night's 18-inning marathon?
Well, the Jays, Jamie, they win that game if John Schneider walks Ohtani every single at bat. I don't know what he's thinking. I give him an F. The history is littered with loser baseball teams that tried to pitch to Babe Ruth. It's the same thing. You don't let it do it. Even the Seattle series, they kept pitching to the big dumper. Why are you pitching to him? He's going to knock the ball out of the ballpark at least a couple of times. It makes no sense to me.
So are you going to intentionally walk, if you're Schneider, tonight, bottom of the first inning, first batter up, are you intentionally walking Shohei Ohtani?
I'm walking him, and I'll clean off first base for him with my napkin.
Help him remove all his gear that he has to protect himself.
I want to win. I want to win the game, right? You win the game, and I don't know. There is a dignity there to it that's been brought up.
Dignity.
There is.
Okay.
There's a good way and a bad way of winning.
No, there's not. No, there is not.
Nah, you and I won't agree on that.
There is not a good way. Figure it out. What is the best way for my team to win?
It's not cards.
What is the best way? And if it is baseball, making sure Ohtani doesn't double, triple, hit a home run, get the crowd going with even if it's a hard single. It's like, nope.
There's a respect that you have to have for
respect.
The game.
Respect. Come on. Respect for the game. This is baseball. Guys throw at each other all the time. How is this respectful stuff?
I don't know.
Fans are texting us today. Throw a 98 mile an hour one right at his rib cage.
Hit him in the ribs.
Try to hit his throwing hand. High and tight. Let's go. Brush him back. Somebody texted, let's make this a hockey game. Let's go. Let's go with a Donnybrook out there and Dodger Stadium.
Well, that's a different conversation. If we're talking about allowing fighting in baseball, I'm all in.
It's allowed, but you might get suspended. 1-877-332-8255.
Slide into second.
So Pete said F.
Drop the mitts. And two guys just fighting in the middle of the field.
Meanwhile, there is a load of hockey games. This is wild right now. So every 15 minutes, another game starts in the NHL with all 32 teams. The Leafs have now tied it against the Calgary Flames. But the Golden Knights lead the Hurricanes. The Blue Jackets lead the Sabres. The Ducks and the Panthers just got started. The puck is about to drop in Boston for the Islanders and the Bruins. In 15 minutes, it'll be the Predators and the Lightning. In a half an hour, it'll be the Jets and the Wild. And on and on and on it goes. With the frozen frenzy.
Everyone's playing.
Yes, indeed.
It's kind of fun.
The Oilers have the mammoth tonight.
They're doing this a couple of times a year now, this frozen frenzy.
It's for ESPN is doing the NFL Red Zone. So NFL Red Zone, if you've never watched it, you might have heard about it. They cut from game to game.
Yeah.
So Scott Hansen, the host, will go, okay, the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Red Zone. Let's go to Pittsburgh against the Jets, and then sometimes let's double box in. The Bengals are in the red zone. Oh, let's triple box. We got a touchdown in New York. The Giants with a 80. It is football for the new generation who can handle all the screens at once. So they're doing that. They're doing frozen frenzy. What they do is power plays for the hockey. So if a team's on a power play, let's go to the Blue Jackets and the Sabres. The Blue Jackets are on the power play. Oh, let's double box in the Golden Knights and the Hurricanes. Those types of things. We got a goal between Toronto. So they'll go all over the place. It's on ESPN. I think it's a cool, cool thing.
It's not a bad idea. They're doing a couple of things like this on different networks. I know they that Biz Nasty has a contract as well with I think it's with TNT where they break down the games in sort of a different environment as well.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone.
Kind of like what's his nut on the Monday Night Football? Manning.
Chris,
the Manning cast. They do a similar thing, Manning cast for hockey, so, and bring in different guests and things.
Jamie Locker with you here in the Green Zone as the Jays getting going against the Dodgers game for the World Series. Of course, Shohei Ohtani is on the mound tonight for the Dodgers, and you have Shane
Bieber. It looks like half
Bieber.
Of Saskatchewan wants just to throw balls at Ohtani's head.
bean them, plunk them. Nolan Ryan would do it. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. So, by the way, I did my part for the Blue Jays to win today. The hat went back-to-back losses. So the Blue Jays hat I was wearing, gone. But I
thank you, Jamie.
Got my second Blue Jays
we
hat.
We can't do it without you. We need all the support we can. And your contribution to this team's success is not going to go unnoticed.
I pulled out the freebie hat I got at the Rogers Center when I was there. Was it this year or last year? We went on April the 15th.
That's a nice looking hat. Actually.
April the 15th is Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball when he broke the color barrier. So all the teams wear 42 in honor of him. And that day we were at the Rogers Center for the Blue Jays game. And they were giving away 42 Jackie Robinson hats with the Blue Jay logo on the side. So
Jackie never played in Canada, though, for the majors. But he played in Montreal, right?
He did play in Montreal.
Before he went down to New York?
So we'll see how this hat does. Of course, I know Jackie Robinson was a Dodger, too. I know that. That's where he broke the color barrier, Brooklyn Dodgers. I know that. But it is a Blue Jays hat, tribute to Jackie Robinson.
Well, you can only do what you can do.
Up next, my next option tomorrow, if this one loses, I do have a Canada Day Blue Jays hat that I might have to pull out.
Is it red?
Yes. It's the one with the maple leaf on it.
Yeah.
Blue Jays logo on the side.
I like that. That's a good looking hat, too.
It is. It needs a wash, though. I don't wear that one in public anymore. That one's.
Can you?
It's a dirty lid.
You can wash your hats.
I know that.
Okay. Can you?
You
believe?
Can, but then the beak can get all.
There's a way to do it.
I know they actually have
Google
hat,
it.
What are they called? It's like a form fitting that you put the hat in to wash it.
My hats get gross because I sweat and yeah. By the way, can you believe how much stuff we gave away last night at Boston Pizza?
And by the way, props. Geneva was her name. She stuck it out. That scoreboard went out. We were had a scoreboard. Finally, we put in the ninth inning, we put the scores up.
We had like 100 squares.
And Geneva's 6-5 Dodgers. That was her score. She stayed all the way until near 1 a.m. And then when Freddie Freeman hit that out of the park, 6-5, here you go. Jersey hat, that her Blue Jays hat that she was wearing came right off. She put the new one on. She put the jersey on. She was thrilled.
Yeah.
She was disappointed the Jays lost, but she was thrilled she got some gear thanks to our friends at Boston Pizza who hosted us last night.
That's an authentic jersey we gave away last night, too.
Yeah, and props to the staff for Boston Pizza closes at midnight, but
they were good to us.
They were good to us, letting us stick around to watch the rest of the Jays game. And thanks for all of you. Who came out and said hi, and our listeners to the Green Zone. It was nice to see you there.
I walk the line.
I'm hearing the Bruce Springsteen movie is not quite to the quality of the Johnny Cash.
Don't do that.
Why?
I want to see it. Don't ruin the movie before
I
even
see it too. Don't, but I've been hearing reviews.
Don't. No. It's good. It's going to be great. Stop it.
I hope it's great,
no,
too.
No, it's going to be great. I might go this weekend. I'm going to be by myself, so I got nothing to do.
When?
This weekend. Wife's out of town, so I'm gonna go to a movie.
Friday?
No.
You're not by yourself on Friday?
I'm. She's leaving Saturday, and she's gone for the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Saturday morning, so I might go Saturday night.
Never mind.
What did you need me to do?
Maybe you wanted to walk around neighborhoods for a little while.
I put my time in.
Although, Daddy Tax on Halloween night is fantastic.
There were, you know what I loved about Halloween? There were a handful of places in the neighborhood that we lived in where there were parents that had treats for the
yeah That's still a thing.
So you're walking around their neighborhood,
yeah,
getting just sloshed because there was like four or five houses where you'd stop in and have a shot or a specialty drink.
We have something for the parents too.
Yeah.
Ooh, what do you have?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun. Good for you. Those are the real heroes.
There was one house that had options.
Like different drinks?
Yeah. What do you prefer? Like, what? You got bartenders in here? What's going on? And it's a Friday night Halloween, so we have no idea what's going to happen. I bought either way too much or not nearly enough.
We don't know either.
Halloween.
Because we're new, right? Like we weren't in our place last year at Halloween.
It's going to be interesting. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Of course, the Jays game coming up right here on these radio stations. You can listen through the Sportsnet Blue Jays radio network. But right now we're going to preview the CFL East Division semifinal. Also talk a little Trevor Harris with Matthew Schenetti, the sideline reporter of TSN. But as you look at the Alouettes and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Matthew, are the Bombers the biggest mystery of the six teams in the playoffs this year?
I like how you said the word mystery, because given how many times I've seen the Bombers this year, from the team that seemingly can't find a way to get a result in Southern Ontario or struggles to the team who sold out, who has sold out 14 straight games and absolutely ran right over the Ticats, as I mentioned just a few weeks ago, to the team that squeaked out a win against some of the backups, some of the Riders' backups. I don't know what team we're going to get. Mystery is an excellent word to use, but ultimately, and I know that Davis Alexander and the Montreal Alouettes are full of confidence hosting a playoff game, given how well they have played over the last month and a half. But the Bombers coming over, crossing over, seems just like a perfect scenario for what I think we're starting to see might be the final chapters of this. I think we can call it a dynasty. And it's time is undefeated. And certainly when you've had an historic run, as the Bombers have had over the last half decade, at some point the rest of the league and time catches up with you. But now that they're going to over to the East bracket, knowing all of the major players, Brady Oliveira, certainly Nick Dembski is dealing with a hamstring injury right now, but Willie Jefferson, to know Zach Collaros that I have over his career, they will be primed for a run like this. And they played well in Montreal a few months ago. And I remember talking to Brady about it. And he said, people go ahead and make a mistake counting us out. That's at their peril. So I've been kind of describing it as a bit of a street fight, but I can imagine that when the Bombers go to Percival Molson Stadium this weekend, we're going to see the best out of them, because there's just something about this Mike O'Shea team come playoff time. They reach another level. It's the reason why they've been to five straight great cups.
Matthew Schenetti with a preview of the East semifinal. Bombers crossover, take on the Montreal Alouettes. And, of course, the story in Montreal, a 7-0 record with Davis Alexander, but he has yet to start a playoff game. This is his first playoff start. And he's going up against Zach Collaros, who's gone to six Grey Cups, one with Hamilton, and then, of course, five with the Bombers. Who has the advantage at quarterback, Matthew?
Ooh, Jamie, that's a tough one. And I can tell you, if you look at Davis Alexander's social media, as soon as he knew the Winnipeg Blue Bombers were crossing over and coming to Montreal, he certainly liked a few Bombers tweets and some few CFL tweets about that fact. If you're Davis Alexander, how could you not feel as excited as anyone in that position, given how well he has played as a starter, given his physical capabilities, and just given what he does to the Alouettes team? If you look, the Alouettes, especially on defense, obviously have so many offensive weapons. But if you look at just the way when we talk about chemistry, things you can't measure in numbers, Davis Alexander injects that into the Alouettes team every time he starts. You can just see it's that moxie, athleticism. He's got a bit of an edge too. If you being on the sidelines alongside Davis Alexander, the refs have to tell him to stop chirping other teams because he does not stop talking. But I can tell you, when you talk about edge, I'm looking over at Zach Collaros, given the resume that you laid out, and to say nothing of the MOPs that he also has in his cabinet as well, and the ample experience that he has accumulated since 2019 and going over to Winnipeg. this is the kind of scenario, knowing Caleros used to be a young, upstart, talented quarterback with the future, with his future in front of him, like Davis Alexander, Zach Caleros will relish this matchup. This matchup right here is two quarterbacks who make their money being athletic, being physical, and absolutely going to defenses and saying, try me. I will absolutely give you my best, and I fully expect that. And I know I'm kind of dancing around the question, but I'm giving the edge to Zach Caleros only because of the ample experience he has. But my goodness, Davis Alexander is ready for this.
Jamie, if I'm not mistaken, you've kind of been on the Montreal Alouettes bandwagon from the beginning of the season.
I have them in the Grey Cup. I picked them at the start of the season to be in the Grey Cup. I actually picked Davis Alexander to win the league MOP this year at the start of the season.
Some injuries.
And if he didn't get injured, well, he might be that. But yeah, I still have the Alouettes in the Grey Cup, 100%.
So as a roster as a whole, I mean, obviously, Zach can be dangerous. The Blue Bombers can be dangerous. They're looking to make history here by being the first team to cross over. But is this a Grey Cup roster for Montreal?
Ooh, that's an excellent question too. I mean, you just have to look at the coaching staff, and you have to look at every single way the Alouettes have been successful this season. Taking, as you said, Davis Alexander elevate, you can certainly see the ample weapons they have. Although the run game has not been as consistent as they might have wanted it, but you look at Snead, Cole Speaker, Austin Mack, Rambo, there are absolute weapons. Phil Pott, there are guys that could break a game open. But I look at that defense, and knowing this, the biggest matchup is not Zach Caleros against Davis Alexander. It's Zach Caleros going up against Montreal defensive coordinator Noel Thorpe. These two guys have loved going toe-to-toe against each other from going back to Caleros' days as the starting quarterback of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And if you look from Beverett to Sankey to Adeyemi Berglund to Sutton, this defense that Montreal has can absolutely win you a game if need be. And if we look at Davis Alexander and his moxie and his talent, he's also dealing with some injuries still too. You're looking at his elbow, the situation he has with his elbow, but also as well, and I'm also peeking over to the other side of my job, which is, you know, the Canadian men's national team, and some of the hamstring injuries those players have suffered were very much like this hamstring injury that Davis Alexander had. If he gets rushed out of the pocket by Willie Jefferson, and has to use his legs a lot more, and there's a tweak there, it changes the whole dynamic of that game. Not saying it's going to happen, but when you get to the playoffs and you're going up against a team like the Winnipeg Blue Bombers that has so many savvy guys, and even a newcomer like Tony Jones at middle linebacker taking over for Adam Bighill, this is where, beyond the quarterbacks, like, both of these teams have talent every part of the roster. But the Alouettes, they do have a Grey Cup worthy roster because a lot of those guys won the Grey Cup in 2023. So as much as it feels like on the marquee, a East semifinal, this also has the hallmark of, like, a team. If either of these teams win this game, they should absolutely be considered Grey Cup favorites.
Matthew, I'm going to flip away from the East semifinal. I know you've done a lot of in-depth stuff across the league with a lot of the great quarterbacks in this league and have some, you know, great relationships with them. But Saskatchewan is wondering about their quarterback's future. Last year of his contract. Do you think what happens in the playoffs will help decide for Trevor Harris what he does after this season?
Or is someone going to have to pack for him?
Yeah.
He came up to me after he wanted to stay in that game as much as he could. I watched him walk over to Corey Mays several times and plead his case. Trevor Harris came up to me after he was done and looked me in the eye and said, Matt, this is the best I have ever felt in my career. And I think that's both certainly emotionally, and Trevor has long said this to me, that being the quarterback of the Saskatchewan Roughriders has always been a goal of his, and that in some respects he wished he would have done it earlier. But the situation is he's 38, 39 years old, and now he has the opportunity with a West final, to look forward to, that he can take the Saskatchewan Roughriders to the Grey Cup. But the one thing, and Dwayne Ford pointed this out yesterday on SportsCenter, that when you look at all the quarterbacks and everyone has so much to play for, and there's been so much parity across the league this year, and everybody's talking about it. But the one guy who has a lot to play for, a lot of pressure on him, and he's trying to accept that pressure, is Trevor Harris. But time is undefeated, as I've already said. And the way that Trevor plays the game, if he's in a rhythm, he is near unstoppable. Him feeling the way he is and him viewing the atmosphere around Corey Mace and what he's built as the head coach, but just the overall feeling around the franchise and the confidence that gives Trevor Harris is absolutely something that's going to benefit the team come the West final. But when I asked him about his future, when I asked him about just literally after he told me, hey, how great I feel, he was just saying, I'm focused on right here, right now. Winning a Grey Cup as the starting quarterback of the Saskatchewan Roughriders is the only thing that Trevor Harris wants right now.
And that's the only thing Rider fans would want this year to end off 2025.
Who do you think we're going to be facing in the West final?
BC.
Yeah. You seem very confident in that.
BC and Montreal win this
Who
weekend.
Who do you want?
Montreal beats Hamilton. Saskatchewan plays Montreal in the Grey Cup.
Okay.
As I predicted at the start of the season.
Yeah, you did. Who do you want in the West final?
BC.
You want BC? You don't want Calgary.
They haven't beat Calgary this year. 0-2 against Calgary. You just saw it. It was live in person 4 days ago with their backups. They can hang with the BC Lions. No questions asked. Champs and Chumps next on 980 CJME and 650 CKON.
You two are winners. Big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best. And you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, Champ and Chump here on the Green Zone. Chump.
Grammy-nominated Canadian singer-songwriter, J.P. Sachs.
Yeah, let's not listen to it. It was a terrible anthem last night.
If that guy isn't looking for a new career today, the world is not right as we know it. And you know what? The change in the lyrics, whatever. He did that to get attention. He is not a good singer. He can't sing. What are we letting these people that can't sing do the anthem? Like, what is
Apparently
going on?
The anthem today was much improved.
Was it? Okay.
Much improved. Good. Anthem today.
Like, I don't wish everybody needs to make a living, but some people make the wrong choices in life.
And our champ today, Sandy Koufax, darn
Ladies
near 90 years old, hanging in there all 18
Still
innings.
Still at the game.
There's some rumblings he might throw out the first pitch tomorrow for game number 5. It was Oral Hershiser today. Dodgers, of course.
I had to look it up. 89. He looks great.
The Dodgers and, of course, the Blue Jays are coming up next right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.